China is the world's largest exporter of surveillance software and equipment, and now under the focus is multinational as well as well-known brands, some from China, who have been implicated in developing technology that is allegedly being used to suppress the Uyghur population in certain areas of China through the usage of things like facial recognition technology. We're joined on the line this evening by Connor Healy. He's the government director at IPVM in the United States. IPVM is the world's leading authority on video surveillance, and it delivers reporting, research, and test results regarding video surveillance, and this has been occurring since 2008. Connor, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me.
Before we dive into the topic and some research that you've done into how this technology is being used, particularly in China with regard to the Uyghurs, first, just a bit of a background first on who exactly is the IPVM, the type of work that you focus on, the research that you do, and what brought you to looking specifically at the technologies and the detection and analytics being used in China with regard to the Uyghurs.
Yeah, of course. So IPVM is a U.S.-based research and media organization. We're fully independent, and we focus on surveillance technologies and businesses. So I don't know if your audience has heard of Consumer Reports, but we're a bit like that publication. Basically, we do independent testing and analysis of these technologies and businesses in the surveillance space. And so the reason China has our attention is because that's where the largest manufacturers of surveillance are based. And a big part of our mission is trying to understand and expose unethical use of surveillance. And the place where there's the most unethical use of surveillance right now is China as well, because of what's happening in Xinjiang to Uyghurs. So that's the main reason that we focused on it. We've been reporting on it since 2018, 2019. We've published dozens of reports on surveillance use in China, many of them about surveillance use in Xinjiang. And, you know, it's something that's very concerning to us as analysts of surveillance, and something that we think people need to know more about.
And now the particular research that you've presented in this paper, Uyghur Surveillance and Ethnicity Detection Analytics in China, what was delivered at the Uyghur Tribunal that has been convened in the United Kingdom. What I'm interested in is, you might be coming from a research and reporting perspective, is this just to get the information out there and then, you know, throw the ball into the court of perhaps campaigners and human rights organizations who take the next step and, you know, make the judgment on the evidence that you've provided, or do you perhaps sound out certain advisories or warnings based on your findings?
Well, yeah, our focus is on research and on providing information, and we want people to hear about these findings. It's important to us that this issue is a high-profile issue and that people discuss how surveillance is being used. But, yeah, our focus is mainly on gathering information, trying to pass that on, like you said, to human rights organizations. So I don't think we're sort of the last stop on the train here. In that sense, there are a lot of other groups and people that need to be involved in these issues, and we're just trying to provide them with, you know, the best information possible, because there is there's still a lot out there, I think, to report on this subject, and, you know, we have a lot of work to do just focusing on the information.
So to take us behind the scenes and obviously a kind of dummy's view of the technologies involved for you to be able to report on what's been going on specifically with regard to the Uyghurs, what were the kind of things that you looked at to formulate your conclusions, and then what were the main conclusions, what are the main problematic areas that you've identified?
Yeah, well, there are basically two trends, broadly speaking. The first, I think, is pretty well known, which is a massive increase in the amount of mass surveillance that exists in Xinjiang and across China. But in recent years in particular, there has been a significant effort to increase the amount of surveillance in public spaces, in largely Muslim communities. And this includes a lot of advanced technologies like face recognition, and various other analytics. You know, these aren't just cameras. They're very advanced networks that the authorities can use to surveil the population and conduct analysis and maintain, you know, their interpretation of order and public security. The second big trend that we've been looking at specifically is the use of analytic technologies in these systems, and the one that I think we spend a lot of time on and that is being widely reported is Uyghur face detection. So I discussed this at the tribunal. Basically what that means is they've trained computers, you know, using surveillance cameras to recognize who is a Uyghur and who isn't. And they can make that determination, you know, for a pedestrian on the street, or in some applications, they can use it to flag content that's posted online for moderation. And so this is how it's being applied. Those are mainly the subjects we've focused on researching. Our investigations and our material rely heavily on direct evidence, on the statements that are being made by the Chinese government and on documents from Chinese corporations that are involved in installing mass surveillance or developing something like Uyghur face detection. So it's all really based on primary source materials. You know, if you look at companies like Huawei, Dahua, Hikvision, most people know Huawei. Dahua and Hikvision are the largest surveillance manufacturers. They're both Chinese companies. A lot of this research is based on their own documents. You know, some of it requires a lot of deep digging. Other things are available online. Nobody has just really looked at them before. I think there's a lot of that direct evidence showing how these two trends are taking place in Xinjiang.
Now, Connor, the cell phones have often been described in recent times, and there have been several high-profile scandals around the world referring to these devices as, you know, the spy in the pocket. Are we talking about, you know, you mentioned certain names and certain brands, Huawei amongst them, who are using these devices to that effect? Are we talking about, you know, other forms of surveillance, that are amply spread out within public spaces beyond mobile phones? So to which extent, or what's the bigger kind of culprit here between using mobile phones to this effect as well as other technologies and other devices?
Well, it's really both. They're part of an integrated system. It's called the, you may have heard of it, the Integrated Joint Operations Platform, IJOP. They take in data from people's cell phones as well as from surveillance. I think they both provide a really important part of the system to make it work. And there are some applications of IJOP that involve using surveillance cameras and cell phones sort of at the same time. So, for example, if they were to detect a cell phone and they don't know whose cell phone that is, like if you were to sort of get a new cell phone that wasn't associated with you, they can still detect that it's there, and using a surveillance camera and face recognition, they can assign a user to that cell phone, even if you haven't provided any details on the phone. And so that way they can sort of figure out any unidentified network devices, you know, who's using these. It's just one of the ways that the system prevents people from engaging in any behavior that bypasses government monitoring. And in that sense, those two systems work together to come up with that application. You know, I think overall what is more intrusive is probably the surveillance cameras rather than, you know, I think cell phone monitoring is also very intrusive, but you have a choice whether or not to have a cell phone on you. And, you know, with surveillance cameras covering all public areas, there really is no choice. You are surveilled whether you choose to be or not. So I think in that sense, it's probably a worse aspect of the system.
And here we have Connor wanting to look at the facial recognition part of this, which basically says that it identifies certain features within people, whether a person is, you know, has Uyghur looking features. But you know, I've read the report and it says it goes beyond that to identify people, classify people within certain you know, racial or ethnic groups, even beyond Uyghurs. I mean, in terms of ethics, and I don't know if there's a global ethics code, but you know, this is perhaps racialized behavior being taught to machines, discriminatory behavior taught, you know, being taught to machines. Is there, you know, can this be challenged by its very nature, you know, this kind of behavior being used and then misappropriated?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, they are teaching computers to be racist, and I think there's no justification for that. There is no reason to build these technologies that that could possibly not be discriminatory. They are inherently discriminatory, and that's without even considering, you know, the facts on the ground, which are that massive human rights abuses are happening. The Muslim population is being discriminated against, relocated, put into re-education camps. You know, all of this is happening, and at the same time, they're building these technologies. So I don't think there's really any explanation that can be given that's a positive one that justifies working on something like this.
The last question I have for you, Connor, is that it might be Chinese companies, but we know the reach that Chinese has over the world. It might be the Uyghurs at the moment, but it could be used in the future in different contexts around the world, and it's quite likely that it's already being used in similar contexts around the world, not for the most savory of purposes. Would this amount to a call then to be wary about the companies that you've mentioned, the companies that are potentially implicated, as you know, this would be a stain on their track record, and you know, perhaps is indicative of collaboration with other regimes that might also do bad things in other parts of the world?
Yeah, well, I think these companies don't deserve our trust on a number of levels. And the fact is that they, you know, their business outside of China occurs in areas that, you know, where trust is really important. Huawei is selling you technology and cell phones, and it's important to trust the provider of those technologies. It's even more so the case with surveillance. Hikvision and Dahua have, you know, dominate many markets worldwide. They're used by governments all over the world. And, you know, they have proven themselves to be seriously flawed entities. And we should think twice about using them. You know, as for whether or not these companies have a role in exporting these technologies abroad, I think the next few years will tell. There has been some evidence that China is interested in, really exporting this sort of techno-authoritarian model abroad through their safe cities projects and their mass surveillance. And I think we should resist that. But the next few years are going to really say a lot about, you know, what level of surveillance we want in our society. China is a driving force behind implementing more surveillance all over the world. And it's something people need to, at the very least, think about. These are very serious decisions that we're making. I think my opinion is that we should push back on having mass surveillance states.
Indeed. Connor, thank you so much for those important insights. Connor Healy is the government director at IPVM, and IPVM, as I mentioned earlier, is the world's leading authority on video surveillance, focusing on reporting, research, and test results. And Connor recently delivered a paper at the Uyghur Tribunal where he spoke about similar issues in much more depth, China's chilling use of cutting-edge technology, and you could read that paper in full with lots of graphics to illustrate the point and all the names, all the details mentioned there on the Uyghur Tribunal website, which is uyghurtribunal.com. Connor, thank you so much for your time, and have yourself a great weekend.
Of course, you too. Thank you.